I just want to tell you, it's great to be here. It's been a long time since I've been here. In fact, when Alice and I got in and I know that this assembly has supported us faithfully through the years. We're so thankful. But what a great picture you have of us. That picture in the back of us looks so nice. It must be 25 years old. And I'm so happy. And Bill said, well, if you want to change the picture, you can. No, I don't want to change the picture. I never looked that good. I looked good one time, I guess. It's been an interesting new year. In fact, I'll give you the theme of between December 8th last year and now. So you got to look at my socks here.
They. The other one says boy.
Yep.
There it is. Boy.
Boy, they. That's characterized starting in December. I tried to jump a gas hose. I used to be able to jump gas hoses. In Connecticut, New Jersey, they pump your own gas. They pump your gas. It's illegal to pump your own gas. But in Connecticut, you got to pump your gas. And I've done that in many states. And I had to get to the other side while I was filling up the car. Alice was getting donuts. Of course, she was getting donuts at Dunkin' Donuts. I tried to jump the thing, didn't work, fell on my hip, and boom, it broke. Bingo. So I got a new hip, December 8th. December 8th, Alice? Yes, December 8th. Great story. The Lord was in it. I had all kinds of opportunities to share Christ. Normally, I go to people to share Christ. They were coming into my room. I was handing out brochures and talking to people and praying with them. I told Alice, this is the greatest day of my life. And she said, wait a minute. You got saved and you married me. And this is the greatest day of your life? I got in trouble. But I'm telling you, it was remarkable. Then 5 days later, I'm sitting. I now have a walker, you know, so you gotta walk. And I've helped people through the years, and now I know what it's like to use a walker and really need one. But then 5 days later, I was sitting in a chair, and all of a sudden, my eye, like a window shade. Thank God for Google. I had no idea what was happening, so I Googled it. I just typed in, eye, looks like a shade, what do I do? Said, go immediately to a ophthalmologist. I had a torn retina, so I had emergency surgery. There's a whole story to that. I won't bore you with that, but I got a new surgery. And then I had to keep my head down for a couple days, 3 days. Well, I told the surgeon, I have to do PT for my hip. I said, I don't care what you do with your body. You got to keep your head down. So you got to lay down, in fact, with your head down. So there I was, laying down. And then every hour, I had my walker over here. And I got up like this and reached over like this. And my head's still down, and I'm going like this. It was a mess. So anyway, how are you? Oy vey! It's great to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to come. We had a great week at camp. I sometimes speak there, but I was just like everybody else, a person who was coming to the camp. Great. John Glock was a speaker. I know you know who John Glock is. And Mark Stevenson. Has Mark been here? You should invite him if he hasn't been, but he already has been. That's good. He spoke, so we went through 2 Timothy with John and 1 Samuel. See, I'm old. Anyway, went through the life of David, most of his life. Not all of it, but most of it. Great week. Well, what am I going to talk about here in Chicago? First, I'd like to tell you that at the camp, there is a policewoman, Christian, believer, grew up at the camp. And I hear... Where I live in Philadelphia, land of brotherly shove, brotherly love. I can't tell Chicago anything. Being in Philadelphia and Chicago, they're in the news, both of cities, not all the time good, most of the time bad. And so here's a Chicago policewoman, a believer. And so I'm talking to her and saying, what's it like to be a Chicago policewoman as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? And what she shared to me was remarkable. You ought to thank God you're in Chicago with a policewoman who's a believer. Do you know that in the city of Chicago, there are prayer stations? Prayer stations set up by the Chicago police in their uniforms. You never get that on Channel 5 or Channel 9, WGN. You don't get that. And she said, yeah, there are Chicago policemen who care about people and love the Lord Jesus Christ. So I have a podcast if you're interested. And Mike, raise your hand. Have you watched or listened to our podcast? Real loud. I didn't pay you. I don't have any money to pay you. So do you like it? Okay. George Carrera used to listen to the podcast while he was taking a shower, and then his daughter brought him a sandwich. He's in heaven now. It's much better there without a soggy sandwich. But so you actually listened to the last one, right? Okay, thank you. And you're survived. Good. All right. I want you to, if you don't listen to any of them, that's fine. But if you're living in Chicago, listen to the last one. You could go to foiequip.org. foiequip.org. Scroll down. You'll have to scroll down, and you'll see Jew and Gentile podcast. And the last one we did was actually from the camp. The Gentile guy is in the office in New Jersey, and I was in Wisconsin. We had several other guests, and it was great. I thought it was great just to be able to realize that God plants his people where he plants them. And everything you see on the internet, unless it's a torn retina, is not always true. And everything you hear on the news isn't always true either. Well, this morning I'd like to talk to you about why I support Israel. And believe it or not, why I want you to support Israel. I'm not coming as a Democrat, and I'm not coming as a Republican. Actually, it has nothing to do with politics. So you can shove that aside. I'm going to talk to you first about what has happened almost 2 years ago in October. And I'm going to talk to you about what the Bible says. And to start off, let me just tell you this. Jewish people summarize most of their holy days this way. They tried to kill us. They failed. Let's eat. I'm not kidding you. I'm not making it up. And some of you who are familiar with Jewish holidays understand exactly what I'm saying. Start off with Passover, Day of Redemption, very important. Exodus. The story in Exodus and the redemption of the Jewish people happened, and it's mixed throughout not just the Old Testament, but in the New Testament as well. Redemption, the blood of the Lamb that saved the Jewish people. If they didn't have the blood of the Lamb, the firstborn was not saved. They'd be killed, judged. And so it's interesting as you think of Passover. A Pharaoh who was nervous about how the Jewish women were producing children and wanted to wipe out the babies. We know about Moses and all that, but I grew up celebrating Passover and a Passover Seder. And when I sat at the Seder, one of the things we read, it's in the Haggadah. A Haggadah is a little book that tells them what to do during the Seder, and it says this: in each and every generation, they rise up to destroy us. In each and every generation, they rise up to destroy us. I knew that growing up. By the way, I was always nervous about Christians because I put them in the same category. Because in Jewish history, in the name of Jesus, the Crusades happened. And guess what? You know, you see the Red Cross? They weren't giving blood to people. They were taking blood. They were killing people. Muslims as well as Jewish people. And so, but Passover is a story of redemption, so we eat unleavened bread, we have unleavened desserts, there's a whole Seder meal, we don't eat the lamb because of the destruction of the temple, but chicken, roast beef, it's a family get-together, let's eat! That's one. Fast forward to the book of Esther, and Haman tells Ahasuerus, there's a certain people. And I've been in this building before, a long time ago, and did the whole book of Esther. I don't know if anybody was here for that, but I did it. And Haman wanted to kill all the Jews. And we read about that. Name of God isn't mentioned in the book of Esther, but he wanted to kill all the Jews. A heroine arises. It's Esther. And instead, Haman and his family are killed. But we eat Hamantaschen. So all the Jews were going to be killed. They weren't. And today we eat Hamantaschen and we celebrate Purim. Intertestamental period of time between the Older Testament text and the New Testament text. You have the Syrians from the north coming down to harass, actually, Egypt, but Rome telling them, don't do that. So as he goes back up, he decides to desecrate the temple and to go after Jews. And those of you who are familiar with Hanukkah know that the temple was destroyed but rededicated. We light a menorah and we have all kinds of fun food like potato latkes and what else? What else do we eat? What? Oh, that's right, donuts for oil. So they tried to kill us, they failed, and let's see. October 7th, up until October 7th, there was a ceasefire in Gaza. At least there was no Israelis shooting anything into Gaza. But October 7th, there was no longer a ceasefire. There was an attack. And it's very interesting how we forget, we in the West, UK, Canada, France, and some in the United States, we forget what happened. What happened is some 3,000 to 5,000 Hamas terrorists came by land, air, and sea. They came by flying kites, literally, into the western part of Israel. Gaza is a very small community. It's not very big, but they came. And they weren't going after military. They were going after babies, senior citizens, young people. There was a concert going on, a bunch of liberals. The young people of Woodstock ilk, if you will. They were whooping it up at a concert, and they came in, and just, it was horrible. I can't describe how horrible it was, and Alice and I were there in September of last year. We went to that, where that concert was, the memorial that's there, the number of people that were killed, butchered, women raped. They took 257 hostages. They still have 50 left. And if you look at your news feed, you will see one of them that Hamas posted yesterday, who was digging his own grave and looked as though he had survived the Holocaust in a concentration camp. He's lost 75 pounds. He's bone and flesh. And Hamas posted the picture of him digging his own grave. You need to remember that, because I don't know everybody here. You might be, oh, he's going to talk about Israel, and we're not going to mention the Palestinians who are so hungry, and they're starving them. And the pictures in the New York Times showed that picture of starving Gazians until the next day when they had to post that those pictures that they were fed aren't true. They're not true. I'm not making it up. New York Times has to change what they said, because Hamas is preventing food from going in. They're taking it and using it themselves. What they did was horrible. 5 days after the event, I wasn't around during the Holocaust. Most of you, if not all of you, weren't around. We see pictures. I have family I lost in the Holocaust, and heard stories from my own family about what happened and all that. But as you think about people denying that the Holocaust took place, at least you can say, well, they weren't alive during that time. It's harder to believe, but we were all. I'm safe to say, well, maybe the baby in the back. I don't know when the baby was born. But October 7th of 2023, I'm sure he was not born. So except for him, we all know. 5 days after the event, not only were there people denying that it took place, there are people saying that Israel's to blame, denying everything. I don't know how that is. I don't know how you could say that, but it's true. And now in major cities in the United States, including Chicago, Philadelphia, San Francisco, New York, name LA, name the city. There are people saying from the river to the sea, from the river to the sea. There's actually reporters going around saying, do you know what river is it? I don't know. Do you know the sea? What sea is it? I don't know. Well, why are you here? Because Israel's bad, they're committing genocide. I'm here with the Palestinians. What's from the river to the sea mean? The river is the Jordan, and the sea is the Mediterranean. And what they're saying is they want no Jews between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. They're chanting that all the time, denying what took place. Then they say resistance by any means. And some of you are thinking, maybe you're on Zoom thinking, wait a minute, what they're doing is legitimate. Resistance by any means. What does that mean? Resistance by any means by any means, including violence. And you know who would not deny and in fact embrace that line? He's running for the mayor of New York City. Right now, today, he's running. He's running on a platform that would be contrary to the policewoman I met in Chicago. Get rid of the police. Have social workers come and counsel the robbers, the murderers. I'm not making this up. It's happening now. A person is running for the mayor of American City who is proclaiming resist by any means, including violence. And he's going to get a lot of votes. Some people think he's going to win. I don't know. But then there's another one. Kaibar, Kaibar, Ya Yahudi, Yahash Muhammad, Safad Aoud. I'm not good in Arabic. I hope I'm close. I was not trying to mess it up on purpose. But I'll say it again. I'm sounding it out. Kaibar, Kaibar, Ya Yahud, Yaish Muhammad, Safa Yaud. What's that mean? It means, O Jews, the army of Muhammad will return. What does that mean? You see, there's some people who say that all this stuff is about occupation. Israel is guilty of occupation. That's interesting, because when the PLO was founded by Yasser Arafat in 1964, do you know who had Gaza? It wasn't Israel. They wanted to kill, under Yasser Arafat, they wanted to wipe out the Jews, but not because of Gaza. There was no, well, there was Gaza, but Egypt controlled it. So, well, what about the West Bank? Thank you. Jordan. Jordan controlled it. Jordan had it. So when we hear Kybar, Kybar, you have to go back to 628 AD. What, 628 AD? What? There was no modern state of Israel in 628 AD. What does that mean? Well, Kybar was a community of Arabs and Jews, and they were living together in harmony. It was a vibrant community. And Muhammad went into Kybar and killed Jews. And so the proclamation that are in the streets in the United States, in Canada, in Great Britain, in France, are wanting to go back to 628, where they killed Jews once, and they want to do it again. So there's some here, I know, and that's fine. I certainly understand, who are saying, well, this is about Israel. I'm in America. I don't have to worry about that. It's true. It is in Israel. But I challenge if you think you don't have to be concerned about it. Because the cry from Hamas and Hezbollah, by the way, it's all alliterated. My wife hates alliteration, but it's Hamas, H. Hezbollah, H. Houthis. Even though it sounds like a WH, it's just H, Houthis. And Houthis have attacked American ships. The cry of them is first Israel and then America. Has anybody here remember September 11th? 9/11? Some of us forget it. That cry is still out there. And Israel is in the front lines of America. You know, I just read a piece by an opinion piece, and he quoted Winston Churchill. Again, World War II, I wasn't alive. I've read a lot about Winston Churchill. I've read a lot about World War II and appeasement and what happened with Chamberlain. So during that time, Winston Churchill said this, "An appeaser is one who feeds a crocodile hoping it will eat him last." I like that definition. I like that definition. So today we have calls for a solution. Who is against a solution? Do you want a solution? I want a solution. So the two-state solution. Canada, France, and UK are already saying, if Israel does not stop trying to get rid of Hamas, which wants to wipe them off the map, if they don't stop, we're going to recognize a state. Okay? They're going to recognize a state. What does that mean? Where would they put it? Who's going to control it? Is Hamas going to control it? Hezbollah? The Houthis? Will that solve the idea of trying to murder the Jews? All right, enough with that. We're going to be eating beef, which I didn't know I requested, but I'm glad I did. I didn't even know I requested that. But boy, that's because I must be old. But when I heard I requested beef, I said to myself, I must want beef. So we're going to have that. And if you want to talk about any of this, I'm happy to. But I want to give you why you should support Israel. I'm not saying you should agree with everything Israel says. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying why we should stand with Israel. It's a biblical mandate. Well, maybe we could debate the mandate. You'll have to come up to me and tell me whether you agree or not. First of all, did you know that Israel is the apple of his eye? I'm not making that up. Three places we're told that Israel is the apple of his eye. In Zechariah 2:8, we're told they're the apple of his eye. In Deuteronomy, the Torah, in chapter 32, and in Psalm 17 and verse 8, Israel is the apple of his eye. What does that mean? Well, the pupil acts as a mirror, reflecting back the image back into the person's eye. It's a expression of how precious Israel is to him. So God regards Israel as precious to him. They're the apple of his eye. Three places it says so. Listen to what Jeremiah says in chapter 31. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Does that have a cutoff point, everlasting? Tell me when the cutoff point is. And I love you until you do something wrong. By the way, that's a significant thing for us as Christians. If God loves Israel with an everlasting love, and you read the Old Testament, you realize, my socks. Oy vey. Look at all the sin they've done. They've been judged. Yes, he judges them. But wait a minute. His love is everlasting. If God's promise to Israel is that his love is everlasting to them, when he talks to us and says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, how long is that for? Everlasting. And what if you sin? He still loves you. God doesn't change. So his love is everlasting. It goes on, therefore, with loving kindness, with chesed, that Hebrew word chesed is loving kindness. I have drawn you. Again, I'll build you, and you shall be rebuilt, O Virgin of Israel. That's the prophet telling us what God thinks of Israel. I support them because they're the apple of his eye, but I also support them because they're the chosen people. Boy, Jewish people hate that. They say, oy vey, we're chosen? Look at what happens. God has chosen us for what? Trouble? Heartache? Persecution? Chosen? Choose somebody else. That's what many Jewish people say. Why did God choose the Jew? I don't know. But I can ask you this question. And I'm looking at you, and I've said it here before, even though I know I'm promised beef, you might not let me eat it, but I'm telling you right now, I've seen your faces. He could choose better people than you. He can. I've seen you. I could look in this room, and if I was given the task to go all around America to find for each one of you a better looking person than you, I could do it. I could find a smarter person than you. I don't know if there's any PhDs here, any master's degrees, bachelor's degrees. You graduated summa cum laude and o laude, o. I don't know, but I can find smarter. But if you're here and know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were chosen before the foundation of the earth. What a privilege. God chose you. He's sovereign. He chose me. And as sovereign God of the universe, he could choose whoever, whatever he wants, whenever he wants. And we're told in the Torah, in Deuteronomy, that he's chosen the Jewish people. So you say, so what advantage has the Jew? By the way, the Apostle Paul asked that question. That's the exact question the Apostle Paul asked in Romans chapter 3. So, okay, he chose the Jews. What advantage has the Jew? You know what his answer is? Much in every way. Much in every way. These Jews? In every way. Why? To them, we're given the oracles of God. So you walked in here, maybe Mike with his iPad, some of you on your phone, most of you with your Bible. Jewish. You might not like the Jewish people, but you are holding the Jewish word. Well, not only are you holding the Jewish word, but the living word. The living word came incarnate in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't Irish. He wasn't English. He wasn't French. He was Jewish. The promised seed of Genesis chapter 3 is Jewish. So, all I know is God chose the Jewish people. We're not better than anybody else. We're not. We got all kinds of foibles, and if you want to see how bad we are, just read the book. At least it's honest. We didn't invent sin. That was done before there were Jews or Christians. But we perfected it Just read the Old Testament. We did. But he chose us. And he has a plan and purpose for Israel. And if you've ever read Daniel and Revelation, you can figure out real easy what that future is. It's a glorious future. But he chose people within the church. The mystery of the Old Testament revealed in the New Testament in Acts, and the New Testament church indwelt by the Spirit of God after the Messiah of Israel, the Jewish Messiah and Savior, died. And we remember him every week. I love breaking of bread. It's a very important thing. And Alice and I do it at our home assembly. And we remember what God did for us through the person and work of Jesus. But we got to remember, they're the chosen people of God. I support Israel. In addition to those two things, I support them because they are a blessing theologically. And I've kind of covered that. Chosen first with one man, Abraham, in Genesis chapter 12. And we read throughout the Old Testament text, we read about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob has his name changed when he strives with, I believe, the pre-incarnate Christ, and his name is called Israel. He has 12 sons. The fourth son, Judah, brings forth through the line of Judah King David, who we in camp last week read about, his life up and down, a friend of God who had all kinds of trouble, service, blessing and trouble. But his greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are blessed theologically through the Jewish people, God's chosen people, and I support Israel because of that. I support Israel because they're a blessing to humanity. Many of us have physical problems. I told you about mine in December. There's people suffering through all kinds of things. And let me tell you, God has used the Jewish people. Maybe you have a Jewish doctor. Maybe some of the medicine you've taken was invented and refined by the Jewish people, somebody. I've always told you, you know, Jewish people are supposed to be smart. There's always an exception to the rule. That's me. I graduated in the top 10% of the lower third of my class. It's true. So somebody got mine, wherever they are, and God bless them. I didn't get it. But I can tell you that whether it's technology, water, research, medicine, agriculture, the things that have been contributed to humanity by the Jews is far disproportionate to the number of people on the planet. It just is. God, because he has chosen them, and because he has chosen them to be a blessing, not only are they a blessing because the Bible's Jewish, our Savior's Jewish, Dayenu, that would be enough. But more than that, in a practical sense, I would not be surprised, I don't know, if somebody here, their life has actually been saved through a Jewish doctor, medicine, whatever. It happens all the time. That's by design. I thank God for the Jewish people. I know I'm Jewish, but I don't contribute any of that. I'm just saying they are a blessing to humanity. And I support Israel because they are key for reviving the church. I could smell some of the wood burning here, by the way. You're thinking, wait, reviving the church? Israel and the church, they have nothing to do with each other. And they are separate. The Bible separates them. God has a program for the church. He has a program for Israel. What do I mean by that? Let me just read for you what Paul says, the Apostle Paul. Jewish himself, by the way, but the apostle to the Gentiles. He's a Jewish guy called to the Gentiles. Here's what he says. Now, if their fall, that's Jewish people, we rejected Christ as a nation. Most of all Jewish people have through the years rejected Christ, starting in the New Testament. You can see it. But not all. There's always been a remnant. But he's saying, if their fall, the Jewish people's fall, is the riches of the world, and their failure, riches for the Gentiles, That's why many churches, most churches, are filled with Gentiles, Christians, believers, but they're Gentiles. Often when I go to a church, I'm the only Jewish person there, but I'm a remnant. And other times there are scatterings of our people, but we're a remnant. It has gone out to the world. And Paul is saying, if their fall is the riches for the world, if the gospel goes to the world, I saw your missions board. You've got people, by God's grace, reaching out to mostly Gentiles. Praise God. Praise God. And their failure, riches for the Gentiles, listen to this. How much more? So if their fall, the rejection that Jewish people have for Jesus through the years, if their fall is the riches of the world and failure for the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Look, you don't know what you have until you think you're going to lose it. Just think about your salvation. I thought a lot about it this past week. That's what that kind of week is for. I sat overlooking Lake Geneva. They had really nice chairs, and it was a cool time. It was hot beginning of the week, and it was cooler, and I'm sitting there singing to myself. No one else was there. There would have been an exodus. I'm singing some hymns that we were singing in the meeting. And I was just thinking, what a blessing to be saved. I'm saved. Saved. That means I got a reservation in heaven. If you're saved, you have a reservation in heaven. And you have that reservation because my people, who the Messiah was promised to, rejected him. That's how you got it. So if that's true, even if you don't like, you say, I live next to a Jewish person. I don't like them. They're horrible. They're pushy and they're nasty. I won't debate you on that. I've met pushy, nasty Jews, and I've met pushy, nasty Gentiles. I've met pushy, nasty believers. Yeah, I have. I'm not asking you to like them. You don't have to like them, but you should love them. And the reason you should love them is because God regards them as the apple of his eye. And he chose them as a people, as the means and vehicle for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. And you learn about the Lord Jesus Christ through the Word of God, which is all Jewish. So you live next door to a nasty Jewish person, Zai Gazun. Live and be well. Don't talk to them. I hope you pray for them because God loves them. God has chosen them. And we have what we have in the church because of them. And what we witnessed on October 7th, it's not the first time Jewish people have been murdered. It's not the first time they've been persecuted. In fact, the question must be, why pick on a people who have less people now than they did when Nazis killed 6 million Jews? They haven't even recovered from that. They're less than a 0.1% of the world's population. What's the big deal about Jewish people? They don't know. They just want to be left alone. And yet they're not. And the question has to be asked, why? Why is that? Why pick on this people? There are 22 Arab states. There's one Jewish state, and it's one too many for them. Why? I'll tell you why. Because God loves them. And whatever God loves, Satan hates. And Satan knows the program of God. He knows that the Lord Jesus, he knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming, the seed of the woman, back in Genesis. He knew he's coming. He did everything he could to prevent it from happening. And he failed. Then he did everything he could while he was here to stop him from going to the cross. He offered him the kingdom. And Jesus, through the Word of God, the Jewish Word of God, which he wrote, refused and would not succumb to temptation. And when he hung on the cross and rose again, went up into heaven, he's now doing everything he can to prevent him from coming back. If there's no Jews and no Israel, God's a liar and Satan wins. If you want to understand why this so preoccupation with this insignificant number of people, you need to understand that there's a war going on and we don't see it. We don't see it. And the Bible talks about it. There is a war going on. So whose side are you on in the war? I'll tell you, for me and my house, I'll serve the Lord. If the Jewish people are the apple of his eye, then they're the apple of my eye. If he has chosen them to be the people, then I acknowledge they are the chosen people. I acknowledge that and will stand with him in spite of what come what may. The question is, do you? By the way, if you do, I'm offering you some free stickers in the back. It's amazing what's it. We've given out 50,000 of them. So there's stickers in the back. I brought one up here, but they're all in the back. You could put them on your computer or your water bottle. We have a class online with Friends of Israel called Equip. And I'm sometimes the moderator of it, sometimes the teacher. We have all different teachers. And we had a gal from Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland hasn't looked too kindly on Israel lately. But she said, Steve, I have a sticker. I'm a school teacher, and I walked into my school, and I got in trouble because it said it had an Israeli flag and says, I support Israel. Well, Ireland, according to the law, you can't even have a Irish flag. No flags allowed in your place of business. Wasn't allowed. So she got in trouble. They told her to remove the, I think it was on a book she had or a water bottle. So she had to get rid of it that day. So she said, that's no problem because I asked for stickers. We give 50 stickers. If you text 424-444-1948, you can do that. 424-444-1948. You could do it now even if you want. 424-444-1948. She did that. Eventually, Alice finds out. She gets the stickers, puts them in a packet, and we send it from Friends of Israel headquarters. So she said, that was no problem. I was wrong. I said I was sorry. I forgot about that law. But she said, I had other stickers, and one of the other stickers is pray for the peace of Jerusalem. There's no flag on it. So I took that sticker and put it over the other sticker, and I bring it into the classroom, and no one says anything. But she's willing in a difficult political, especially as it relates to Israel. She wants to be counted to stand with Israel. I think that's an amazing, brave thing to do. You don't have to do it, but if you want to do it, there's plenty of stickers back there. But that's why I support Israel and the Jewish people, and I hope you do as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you through the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There is no God like you. All we have to do is pick up the Bible with our phone or our iPad or our pages of Scripture, and we realize that there's no one like you. You are willing to send your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to fulfill the promise of sending the Messiah to your people. And as a people, leaders rejected him. And through that rejection, the good news, we read about it in Acts chapter 2, goes all around the world, including years and years ago when my wife's grandparents were here. People who loved you, meeting with a bunch of Mexicans and Assyrians who heard the gospel and wanted to worship you and started in Lakeview and now here. So it doesn't matter whether we're Assyrians or we're Jewish or we're French, or we're Indian, or whatever we are. The gospel goes to the whole world. started in Jerusalem and spread all around the world. And by your grace, we heard the gospel, maybe through our parents, maybe through a church, maybe through a neighbor, but responded, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And so, Lord, we're going to eat our beef sandwiches, and we're going to eat them with joy because you have paid the price through Christ. And may we enjoy one another, all our different backgrounds, knowing that in Christ we're one in the body. What a blessing and a work of grace that only you could accomplish. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.